Good morning and happy Mother's Day. This is Adrienne Kubosa filling in for Reverend Coyo, who is in Las Vegas as a guest of the Las Vegas Buddhist Temple, where he will speak this morning. But fortunately, he has pre-recorded his message. But first, our Dharma glimpse will be given by Lay Minister Paul Toyo Mack from St. Louis. He went through our lay ministry program and was inducted in 2009. Here he is.
Imagine you hear a bell. I go for refuge in the Dharma, the spiritual teachings. I commit myself to the truth as it is. At first glance, these can seem to be difficult tasks. The truth as it is, not the truth as I see it, or imagine it, or pretend it. And then there is committing myself to it, not merely drifting into it, or bumping into it, or ignoring it, but, like following my breath, intentionally paying close attention and opening to the truth. This means understanding that the person whose actions I find so annoying may be really giving a pretty good reflection of my behavior. Really? This means understanding that the brick sidewalk I built so painstakingly, that was so well made, and from which my knees are still recovering, yes, that walkway, now so uneven and weed-grown and undermined by heavy continuous rain, that it must be taken out and completely rebuilt. Really? Not permanent? Then there are those student teachers so carefully groomed over years to be so present in the classroom, so wonderfully in charge of content and management, yet who, when set free at the final semester, insist on modeling behaviors I never taught them. How dare they ignore my wise guidance and actually grow into themselves? Really? Finally, how do I ever understand that lovely humans with large presences in my life can suddenly be snatched away, tearing great holes in my sense of order and security and how it's supposed to be? Where's the truth in that? I go for refuge in the Dharma, the spiritual teachings. I commit myself to the truth as it is. Gassho.
Thank you, Paul Toyo Sensei. And now here's Reverend Coyo.
Well, this is Reverend Coyo Kubosa here, and today is May 8th, Mother's Day, 2011. I'd like to share with you the article that my father wrote in Everyday Suchness on the greatest gift to mother. And he says that, you know, on Mother's Day, the time when we pay tribute to our mothers, even though we should not forget them on any day, it is needless to describe the greatness of motherhood and the untold debt of gratitude that we owe our mothers. Even when we try to do so, our words seem weak and insufficient, though our effort is endless. In one of the sutras, it is said, through the love of kind father and loving mother, men and women are peaceful and happy. The love of the father is higher than the mountains, and the mother's love is deeper than the oceans. And then in another sutra, it is said, should there be no Buddha to serve, serve well your parents. That is to serve the Buddha well, too. Indeed, we have to try to realize the vastness of our debt to our parents. Too often, we take things for granted. Though we do owe so much to our parents, too often we treat it just as a matter of course. And more than that, we complain. And some people make their parents suffer. Renyo Shonin, famous Jodo Shinshu minister, once said, when we become habituated, we do things with our feet. whereas we should do them reverently with awareness. That's to do the things with our hands. We should be mindful. Well, we should always do our best for our mothers. But what is our best? I believe our best is to see that the mother has no cause to worry and that her expectations about us are fulfilled. We received our bodies from our parents, said Confucius. Take care of your body. Do not harm it. That's the beginning of filial piety. To become independent and pursue one's life work, to leave one's name to posterity, is the end of piety. Whether our mothers are living or dead, to give them no cause for worry is the greatest thing. However, often we let our mothers worry. Every mother brings up her child with tender care and with thoughts that the child will become a good person, play a worthy role in society. Every one of us should remember the mother's loving care and her hopes and fulfill her expectations. Mothers are always thinking of us and worrying about us. The story of Johnny's mother is a true story. It's one of these examples. Mrs. Yamada always stood in the dark, cold porch of her farmhouse in Central California when her son drove away in his vegetable truck. She stood there until the truck's lights disappeared on the distant highway. It was seldom that she went back to bed after Johnny went to market with the produce. As usual, one morning at 3 o'clock, Johnny and his mother had breakfast together. He drove away in the truck. His mother saw him off from the back porch as usual. Soon after he left, Johnny discovered that he had forgotten an important paper. He parked his truck and cut across the ranch on foot. As he approached the house, he noticed a dark figure in the corner of the porch. He stopped and watched the figure. It didn't move. So he approached and he said, "Who's there?" And the reply said, "Is that you, Johnny?" And Johnny came forward and the mom, she took his hand and there was a little moment of silence. After wiping away her tears, the mother softly said, "Johnny, this is not the first time for me to be standing here. Every morning I stand here long after your truck lights disappear and hoping that you will be safe and you won't be tempted by gamblers and drinking friends. Of course, I trust you and have confidence in you, but I worry because there are many temptations and it's easier to go down than up." The mother was aware that lately Johnny had been drinking and gambling. Well, after this incident, Johnny became a different person and he stayed away from his drinking and gambling companions. Some of us are fortunate to have our mothers living, and some are unfortunately have lost the mothers. But whether the mothers are living or dead, we should honor them just the same. On Mother's Day, those of us whose mothers have passed on, we can recall our tender memories of her and try to live the kind of life she taught us. And those of us whose mothers are still with us, well, we give dinners or gifts and we try our best to make them happy. But among all the gifts, comfort and assurance and fulfillment of mother's expectations is the greatest gift we can offer her. That ends the essay that my father wrote on Mother's Day. Sort of on a contemporary note, I was wondering if mothers raise their children in with certain values, and we could, when we see somebody acting in certain kind of ways, ethically and so forth, being a good person, we might not really think of it. We might give the credit to the person, but usually that means they've been raised right. With the mother's guiding hand. How about when disaster strikes? Of course, there are a lot of cultural differences, and the parents themselves were shaped by their parents, and everything is supported by the culture in which we live. But nonetheless, let's just take a look at this point here about how we see people respond to, say, natural tragedies, such as the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. I'm looking at a newsletter from the Southern Alameda County Buddhist Church, and the minister shares some of the Japanese emails that she has been sent from different people. It's so dark that I can see the stars that I've never seen before, and it's so beautiful. People of Sendai, look up. Well, you know, I guess they don't have electricity, so this person is enjoying the bright stars. There's another one. I guess they have Disneyland also in Japan. The sweets in the gift shop in Disneyland have just been replenished, and I saw a group of colorfully dressed high school girls hoarding all the boxes. For a second, I thought, what's up with that? Then I saw the girls go over and make arrangements for all the boxes to be delivered to children in the evacuation centers. And that really moved me. It was a beautiful example of kindness toward others, and especially for those children who literally can go nowhere. Another one. People are picking up scattered things at stores and putting them back on the shelves while they're standing in line waiting to pay. When the train started running, despite the crowded conditions, elderly people were giving up their seats to pregnant women. Foreigners seeing this behavior are getting all choked up. It's all true, all of these stories. Japan truly is an amazing place. Korean friend, Japan, the sole victim of the atomic bomb, the loser in the Great War. Typhoons come every year, so do earthquakes, so do tsunami. It's a small country, but Japan stands tall. Keep going, please keep going. For what it's worth, I'm in tears now. Though it's common to see the green traffic lights that get so crowded only one car can get through, it's heartening to see the warm give and take among the drivers. The scenes of congested intersections where nothing moves for a full 5 minutes. But in 10 hours, I have never heard any honking and nothing beyond words of appreciation. I'm loving Japan more and more as I spend time. That is simultaneously frightening in terms of what has happened and yet deeply warming. Last night, as I made my way home from university on foot, I saw an elderly woman out in front of a closed bread shop, and she was giving away free bread to people. It's so moving to see people who have found what little they can do to help in the middle of this terrible situation. It warms my heart. And here's the last one. I was worn out waiting on the platform for the train when some homeless people came by distributing boxes because it was so cold. This, despite the fact that we usually glance at homeless people out of the corner of our eyes. I'm all warm now. Well, for what it's worth, I just saw in today's newspaper, Fresno B, looters, swindlers plagued the tornado-torn South. As I read this article, I couldn't help but see the contrast. And I don't think it's just maybe a cultural contrast. Or maybe there's some exaggerations and we could find stories supporting the other side of you in both countries. Okay. But this is what I read. You know, I read what I just shared with you, and just a few minutes ago, I read this in the paper. And I'm wondering, it says, in Tennessee, the thief walked up to Kenneth Carter's tornado-damaged property with the purposeful air of being a relief worker in need of an all-terrain vehicle like the one that was parked out in back. They said, excuse us, we got to get this four-wheeler out of here. Kenneth Carter said, I don't think so. That four-wheeler belongs to me. Carter avoided becoming a victim. But authorities say the South has been plagued by a variety of swindles since the Twister outbreak last week has ripped apart the homes and killed 329 people in 7 states. Looters have carried off televisions, power tools, prescription pills. Elsewhere, unscrupulous businesses are charging double for a tank of gas or jacking up the cost of a hotel room. Authorities warn of construction workers who leave with their cash before even opening their toolkits, and that people are scared that the identities are stolen off of windblown documents. The speed of the flimflam men that are going around this time has surprised authorities and the survivors. They always expect some, but there's so much, it seems, this time. They're getting all kinds of calls, said Consumer Protection Chief for the Alabama Attorney General's Office. Some residents are packing firearms to scare off the lowlifes. Mike Corpse is guarding his parents' home over the weekend with an M1 carbine rifle. Mike Capps, 41 years old, says he returned to the site the day after Wednesday's tornado, leaving his parents in the hospital. Walking up the street, he saw the man carrying a rolled-up power cord that looked familiar, and he noticed the cord had his own name on it. And he said, "Hey, if your conscience will let you live with what you just did, then you earn that power cord," and he kept on walking. Later, he noticed six adults with children on the far side of the lot going through the plastic bag of his mother's prescription bottles, and they were shaking them to see which one had pills. "What are you doing in my house? It's time to go," Cap said. He told them, and the group left. In nearby Birmingham, looters took a woman's flat-screen TV off her wall. While to the west, thieves swiped a $150 saw from the remains of Claude Patterson's Pratt City welding shop, his livelihood. Elsewhere, stolen items have included the equipment the utility companies are trying to use to restore power. Well, I was wondering what kind of values people that do these kind of things, what kind of families did they have? What kind of parents? Did they come from a dysfunctional home? You know, what kind of values did their parents imbue them with? What is the difference? No self-introspection. You know, Buddhism, self-introspection is a crucial tool for spiritual growth. And I'm thinking about Nikon. Nikon literally means to look within. Nikon. Look within. And Nikon is a form of self-introspection for spiritual growth rooted in Jodo Shinshu Buddhism, and it's a technique that's often used as sort of a therapy is, so, you know, to help people with certain kind of problems that are struggling with certain in life. So that when you learn gratitude, it really enriches your life. And they have Nikon Weekend and, you know, in Japan, and certain clinics, and there are centers in America where follow this technique. They've been trained and certified, and there have been books written in English and so forth. And one time I did a very shortened version of a Nikon session. I think it was in New York conference, convention, on Labor Day. And I was leading a session as one of the ministers, and I only had about an hour. So what I did was I had the so-called three questions in Nikon. And quite often, very typical Nikon retreat is, you got all kinds of exercises, but one very basic one is to choose a person, typically your mother, and you go back and you think about three questions. The first question is, well, what have you received from your mother? What has she, you know, done all kinds of things for you? Made lunch every day and this and that, huh? When you're growing up. The second question is, what have you given back? What have you received and what have you given back? It's sort of like a asset liability kind of a question, if you use the economic metaphor. What have you taken in and what have you paid out? Okay. Quite often, it's a lopsided ledger. You took and received so much and you didn't give back much. The third question is, what kind of trouble did you cause it? And sometimes there's a sort of a follow-up when you process this. What we did in this, I explained all this, and I was sort of the timekeeper, and I said, and we dimmed the lights. Maybe there was about 30 people attending this. And face the wall, sit down and face the wall. This is a solitary individual exercise. And I said, here's the first question. And I rang the bell, and they concentrated on that. Then I rang and I said, okay, here's the second question. Okay. And then so many minutes. And I rang the bell, here's the third one. And then after we were finished, we got back into the group setting, and whoever wanted to share what they experienced. It was amazing in that short amount of time. Like I said, Daikon put them there, weekend retreats. All day you spend on, you know. But being a facilitator here, I could see people reaching in for their Kleenex. Tears were flowing. People were moved. It was a very private self-introspection time. What they received from the mother, they didn't give back much. They caused trouble. But you can give something back. Now, even though the mother may not still be living, but as it was said in the article for my father's on Mother's Day, the greatest gift is, what kind of person can I be now? What kind of life can I live going forward? That's to give back. That's to give back. So that's my thoughts and sharing for this Mother's Day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Reverend Coyo. That's it for today, and may all of you have a beautiful day, especially our mothers.